It's Friday, the 27th of November, 2015. Happy birthday to Luigi De Tome. Welcome to the Red Rock Fantasy Basketball Monster Podcast, brought to you by Moneyball.com.au and Aceville. And if you want to be like Aceville and be a sponsor of the podcast for a day, all you need to do is leave a review on iTunes. You can also be a sponsor of the podcast like Moneyball.com.au, and all you need to do is get in contact with me if you own a business and want to be promoted on the show. You can find me obviously on Twitter at @RedRock_Beeble, and my name is Josh Lloyd. All right. Happy Thanksgiving once again to everyone in the United States. You might be listening to this on Thanksgiving night. You might be listening to this on Friday. Hope you guys had a good day, a day without NBA and a day watching football and eating food and catching up with family. As I've mentioned before, we don't have Thanksgiving in Australia, so this was just a normal day yesterday and today for us. Nothing too exciting. Make sure you guys are all safe across the holidays. What we're doing here in this episode, though, because there's no games to review from Thursday, because there was no games on, we're going to use this podcast as just a preview for Friday's DFS action, where there is a lot of games on. There are 12 games on Friday, so we're going to look at that's what we're going to do. We're going to look at Friday's games. We're going to talk about the daily fantasy action. We'll talk about any other things that sort of come up as well as we're going through all of those games. All right, why wait?
Let's get to it.
Thank you, Michael. It's a weird show, and I'm starting off with recapping what's been happening. So let's get straight into it. And let's talk about what is going to happen. And the first game of the night is the Milwaukee Bucks and the Orlando Magic. The Magic are favored by 4 points here. We've got a pretty low total, 198.5. And of course, it's the Orlando Magic, so we don't really know what's going to happen with these guys. So it is very, very difficult to rely on these players for daily fantasy action. If you want to take a risk on a guy, Nikola Vucevic was back over 30 minutes in the last game. He's priced only at 7,300. He put up 43 points in the last game. He is a really good fantasy player. It's risky though. You just don't know what Scott Skiles is going to do. So it's really hard to play any of these Magic guys in cash games. Lord Alfred Payton at 6,500 is not a bad guy if he gets minutes, but again, we don't know. Evan Fournier's minutes have been down. Channing Frye played 20 in the last game, put up 6 fantasy points. Toby Harris had 33 in his 34 minutes. These are all nice numbers, but it's not reliable. And Victor Oladipo put up 31 in 26 minutes off the bench. All this stuff is just, it's not really reliable enough. So I'd be avoiding, especially with 12 games on, I'd be avoiding all these Magic guys unless you go, okay, maybe I'm going to put Shabazz Napier in one tournament lineup. Maybe I'm going to put Aaron Gordon in one tournament lineup. Maybe I'll sneak in Alfred Payton. Maybe I'll sneak in Nick Vucevic. But rely upon them in head-to-heads and cash games and all that sort of stuff. It doesn't feel like the smartest bet. The Milwaukee Bucks, though, have been struggling of late. They haven't been playing that well. But there is a little bit of fantasy value we can get here. Not a massive amount. I don't mind Giannis Antetokounmpo at 7,000. He needs to put up 35 points at that value. He put up 34 in the last game in only 30 minutes with foul trouble, so he can get there. He can easily do that. He's averaging over almost 32 across his last five, so there is some value for Giannis there. Jared Bayless at 4,400 has been really good, averaging 24 over his last three. He put up 32 in the last game, so he's not a bad option. We're pretty confident that he's going to get some decent minutes. We've only got him pegged currently at 26, but he's a massive chance to get 30 minutes a night. Michael Carter-Williams is struggling. 6,200 is his price. He put up 6 points in the last game, 16 across his last three. Hard to roster him, and 7,800 is too expensive for me for Greg Monroe as a guy who's been struggling himself. All in all, there's not a lot to love in this matchup from a daily fantasy point of view. The next game is the Cleveland Cavaliers and the Charlotte Hornets. Matthew Dellavedova is questionable with that calf that caused him to miss Wednesday's game. So that obviously impacts things. If he is out, J.R. Smith becomes an even better play. So I think Smith's still a really good option at 5,300. He's averaging 28 over his last three. And if Dally is out, Smith becomes an even better option. So I really like him in this one. Tristan Thompson is pretty solid at 5,700 as well. He's averaging almost 31 across the last three games. putting up some really nice numbers. Season long, we've talked about his ability to get blocks and rebounds, but daily fantasy, he's putting up that 30 point, which is, you know, that's a really nice number at 5,700. You've got to be pretty happy with the results that you can get from Tristan Thompson. And it's not like the Hornets are a massively tough matchup. Speaking of the Hornets, Marvin Williams at 4,900. He had a stinker in the last couple of games, but he's been, you know, fairly rock solid with what he's been able to do most of the time. Put up 29 in the last game. 4,900 is not an expensive price. The Cavs do give up a lot of points to opposition power forward, so he is in a pretty decent spot there. Jeremy Lamb at 4,600. He's more of a tournament play to me because his minutes can fluctuate. It can go from 22, it can go to 32, like we saw in the last game. And if he gets 32, he put up 32 points. A point a minute's a pretty decent rate. So at 4,600, he becomes useful, but it's hard to rely upon a bench guy in that role in a cash game situation. LeBron at 10,100, he's been pretty steady, getting you, you know, sort of 40 to 44 points, but you probably want more at 10,000 unless you're rostering him with a lot of cheap guys with high upside. It's not a great option here. Look, the Hornets aren't a terrible matchup. They're not a great matchup. It's sort of in the middle, so you don't expect too much variation from LeBron. Nick Batum at 7,000, that's probably a little bit expensive for him. Maybe not too much. He's averaging 35 across the last three with a real big game in there and a pretty poor game, but he's got to go up against LeBron. So that's probably not the best situation for him to go up against, because, you know, it's LeBron James. You have to expend yourself defensively. And then you've got LeBron guarding you. So there's obviously a concern there. Kevin Love is now up to 8,300. That makes it really tough to use him. And Kemba Walker is at 8,200 as well. Same goes with him. He's had some really big games, but at 8,200, it's pretty tough to roster him at that sort of salary. I don't think I would be enjoying doing that. Before we get onto the next game, just want to mention that today's podcast is also brought to you by No Halftime. And if you go to download the No Halftime app on your iOS device, make sure you use the promo code DUNK, D-U-N-K, and get yourself $25 to start off with. Now, No Halftime is it's a fantasy app, basically, but it's a one player versus one player fantasy app. So if you're ever looking at your weekly fantasy opponent and you're thinking you'd love to challenge just one of the players, not the entire team, No Halftime allows you to do that. You can go in there and put up a matchup: Victor Oladipo versus Giannis Antetokounmpo. Who's going to get the most fantasy points? Evan Fournier versus, I don't know, LeBron James. Who's going to get the most fantasy points? Kristaps Porzingis versus Karl Anthony Towns. You can go and, you know, accept challenges other people have created, create your own challenges, which you can either offer privately or publicly. Go out there, put, you know, dollar amounts on it, $5, $10, $15, whatever it is. It's like a DFS matchup, a DFS head-to-head, but just with one player. Doesn't take long to do. You know, seconds, in fact. You know, accepting a challenge, you go into the challenges, it comes up on the screen, two faces, tick and a cross. Do you accept it? Do you deny it? Or, you know, reject it or whatever. And it's very, very straightforward. And you can also do NFL. You can do baseball when that starts up. There's NHL on there. There's college football. There's college basketball. There is a lot up there. Real money and fantasy supremacy awaits you, so visit nohalftime.com for more information and download the No Halftime app for your iPhone. As I said, use that promo code DUNK. It also, as well as giving you $25, it lets the No Halftime guys that you came from listening to Red Rock and help support the podcast, and maybe they can continue on as a sponsor moving forward. Make sure you go and check out No Halftime, where the fantasy sports season never takes a break. All right, that next game is the Washington Wizards and the Boston Celtics. There is no Marcus Smart, obviously, for Boston. He is out for, you know, the next couple of weeks. The Celtics are favored by 3 here with a total of 210.5. So that's a pretty big total. It's the second highest total that is currently on the board. The Washington Wizards have been a little bit disappointing this season, it's fair to say. And the Celtics are in a bit of a slide too. So both these teams are going to want to put up, well, you're going to hope that they're going to want to put up some pretty decent performances here. There's a couple of guys that I do really like from Boston. Jared Sullinger at 5,800. That's not an expensive price. He did put up 33 in the last game. He's averaging 26 over his last five. I think that there's always trepidation using a Boston big man, because we don't know what Brad Stevens is going to do, but he could be a really good option. Isaiah Thomas has been rock solid, especially without Marcus Smart. At 7,300, he is one of the better point guard plays on the board. Kelly Olynyk remains, you're hopeful. If he gets 20 minutes, he's going to be a really good guy. He's only averaging 16 across the last three, so that he's obviously only tournaments. but maybe one of your lineups. And if he blows up, he's had a 40-point game already. If he blows up and gets 40 points at 3,600, well, you can start rubbing your hands together because you're going to be right up the list. Jay Crowder has been struggling a bit at 4,900, though. He doesn't have to do much to return value. He's only averaging 15 points in the last three. Hasn't been the greatest for him. While Evan Turner at 5,400 has been playing a lot better. Averaging 26.5, he's got a much bigger role with Marcus Smart out, so we can look at using him. Brad Beal at 6,900. No, I don't think I really like him at that spot. He needs to give you almost 35 points, and that's going to be really tough for him to do, I would say. And John Wall down to 8,500. Nice game in the last one with 6 steals, but he needs to do a lot more than he's currently doing to be used as well. If you believe Avery Bradley is going to continue to be as red hot as he's been, 6,200 is not terrible, but it's not great. He's averaging 30.5 over his last five, and at 6,200, that's almost spot on value. But do you expect him to be red hot, or do you expect him to be sort of lukewarm? And that's sort of where it fits with Avery Bradley. Marcin Gortat at 5,900 has been playing really well lately, so he's not a bad guy to look at, averaging 30 across his last three. He does have tremendous fantasy potential. He was definitely limited early this season by minutes and by some poor play, but he looks to be getting it going now, so I don't hate using Marcin Gortat in this situation. The Miami Heat and the New York Knicks is up next. The Heat are favored by 1 with a really low total here, 187.5. Amari Stoudemire has already been ruled out with an illness, but that doesn't matter. And Luol Deng is questionable with a hamstring. Now, last time when Deng missed, it wasn't Justice Winslow getting more run. It was Gerald Green who got the start. So Gerald Green's at minimum salary. Once we hear the status on Luol Deng, if Deng is playing, you pretty much can't avoid having Gerald Green. You have to have him into a lineup, because if he goes out and plays 38 minutes like he did in the last game, even if he only puts up 22 points, which he did in the last game, at 3,500, that's fine. And then he's got the ability to go bigger than that. So he's someone we need to have a look at. On the Knicks side of things though, there is a lot of value. For a team like Miami who does slow things down, they are yielding a lot of fantasy points. Kristaps Porzingis at 7,100, he's averaging 44 points in the last three. And more importantly, he's averaging 37 minutes. So against a team who is giving up big points to power forwards, Kristaps at 7,100 is someone that you have to consider. You definitely have to look at him. Carmelo Anthony at 9,100 is one of the better high-priced guys on the board as well. He's averaging 36, but he put up 48 in the last game. And again, this is a pretty favorable matchup for him against the Heat. So if you're looking for a high-priced guy, Melo's worth a look. And Robin Lopez at 4,400. Again, 4,400 is not expensive. What do you need him to do? If he gives you 24 points, are you happy? I think you are. He put up 31 in the last game. Oh, I think you're okay with that. Jose Calderon at 4,600 is not a bad guy to look at either, averaging 23 across his last three. I think that he has a certain value. And Justice Winslow at 3,700, don't know, he's averaging 16.5, which is not horrible, but it's not great, even at 3,700. You want him to be, if he pushes 20, you're going to start to be a lot happier. I'd be avoiding Dwayne Wade. I'm avoiding Aaron Aflalo. Hassan Whiteside is worth a look, but he's at 8,500. That's pretty expensive. That's like a 47-point night, or 45-point night that you need him to put up. And if you don't think that he can do that, then then maybe he's not the guy that you need to roster. So you just consider Hassan Whiteside as a sort of a question mark. I'd be avoiding Chris Bosh at 8,000. I don't really like him there. And 5,700 for Goran Dragic, no. Even though that price isn't that high, I still don't think it's a great matchup for him. He's just not in a good situation to put up points because of the way he's been playing. The Atlanta Hawks and the Memphis Grizzlies. The Hawks put a few guys on their injury report. Jeff T, Kyle Korver, and Thabo Sefolosha are all probable with ankle problems. They will all play. I don't think there's any doubt there. Tiago Splitter has already been ruled out, but Kent Bazemore hasn't been. He is questionable at the moment, and that's going to limit Thabo Sefolosha's appeal. Now, if Sefolosha's playing and Bazemore's not, and Sefolosha plays 30 minutes, then you look at him as a real cheap guy to get into lineups. But if Bazemore is coming back, I imagine they sort of split minutes, and then it's hard to use either of those guys. So it's sort of a wait-and-see situation for both Thabo Sefolosha. You're not using Bazemore regardless, and you're not using Sefolosha if Bazemore is playing. For Memphis, there's a lot of other injuries. There's one injury we need to really pay attention to, Zach Randolph and his knee. And if he is out, Matt Barnes gets the biggest boost. Barnes is priced at just 4,000. He's averaging 25.5 over the last three. He's been starting and getting 30-plus minutes in those games. If Randolph is out again, Matt Barnes at 4,000 becomes super appealing. as does Jeff Green, who's at 4,800, and he's been putting up 28 across his last three, and he's someone that you can use in a lot of situations too. I really like Marc Gasol, even more so if Randolph's out. At 7,800, that's not a very expensive price for him. I think that this is a really favorable matchup for him. The Hawks do allow opposition centers generally to put up pretty big numbers, so I think that's a nice situation for him, especially if Zach Randolph is out again. And if you want another minimum salary sort of guy to look at, Courtney Lee put up 25 points in his last game, and shooting guards do get a big bump against the Hawks at 3,600. And again, if Randolph's out, they'll use more of these wing guys playing the four, so Lee should see more minutes. So he's someone that you can pay attention to. Paul Millsap is now up to 8,700. That's really expensive. That's pushing someone who needs to be a 45-point guy. He's close to it. He's averaging 42.6 lately in the last three. Can he do it? Well, the Grizzlies normally are pretty good at shutting down opposition power forward, so maybe not the best spot to play Paul Millsap. Any other guys for this game? Not really. Mario Chalmers, Dennis Schroeder there in too small of a role. So I don't think we really need to pay too much attention there. And Jermichael Green is back on the bench and back to a limited situation, so Matt Barnes has usurped his role. The Detroit Pistons and the Oklahoma City Thunder are up next. We need to check on the status of Spencer Dinwiddie, who had a sore knee and missed Wednesday's game. That doesn't really impact DFS, though, too much. Overall, DFS, salary-wise and play-wise, I don't really know if there's many guys who I love here. Russell Westbrook at 11,600. With Kevin Durant playing, it's hard to put 11,600 on Russell. Look, he's really good. Obviously, he's really good. But it's hard. It's hard to put it on him to get that. Because what you're going to want him to get 55, 57 points. And he's averaging 53 across his last three. He's averaging 57 across his last five. But four of those were without Durant. I think that he's probably locked to get 50 or close to 50. But I don't know. I don't think that I want to spend 11,600. Kevin Durant at 10,200, that's another story. You can use him, definitely. The 47 he put up in the last game was great, but that's probably minimum of where you need him to be. And the Pistons have really limited opposition small forwards as well. Reggie Jackson at 7,500, one of the better high-priced point guards in play here. And that's not saying much because he hasn't been in the greatest of form. Marcus Morris is okay at 5,900. Andre Drummond at 9,600. Yeah, that's approaching $10,000. So he put up 55 in the last one, but he's only averaging 42 across his last five games. I would probably leave him alone as well. Stanley Johnson's not a terrible flyer at 3,700. Played 20 minutes in the last game, averaging 21 across his last three. At 3,700, maybe one night his shots start falling and he has some value. Serge Ibaka at 6,400 has been a little bit disappointing, definitely. But at 6,400, if he just gives you 30 points... Yeah, if he gives you 35 points, which he can do, then you're set. It's a little bit of a risk, though, because he hasn't been in that sort of form of late. The Chicago Bulls and the Indiana Pacers are up next. The Pacers are favored by 3 here, a total of 198.5 points. Aaron Brooks has been ruled out for the Bulls, so we're going to see more Kirk Heinrich. Not many real value options here in this one. Paul George at 9,900. He is almost at 10,000. And that's probably about right, because he's averaging 50 points across the last three, 47. You can use him, but do you think that if they put Jimmy Butler on him, will it limit Paul George? You'd think it'd have to have some sort of impact on him. And that price is climbing. It's climbing pretty high. George Hill at 6,300. Yeah, I don't really love him at that spot. Jimmy Butler at 8,400. Yeah, it's okay as well. He's averaging 44 in the last three, 40 points across his last five. At 8,400, it's an okay option. But again, the Pacers do slow things down as well. Nikola Mirotic is at 5,700. He's been playing a lot better lately, averaging 28.4 across his last three. But the Pacers are one of the hardest teams for opposition, small forward, power forward guys like Mirotic is. To play against. I don't hate it. I think that he's a decent option, especially if he gets the good minutes, but it's a risk. It's a risk because Hoiberg might play him 20s. And look, Hoiberg with him has been really good lately, playing some pretty nice minutes for Mirotic, and he's responding well. So I don't hate it at 5,700. Do you think CJ Miles is going to go 8 of 9 from 3 again? I probably don't, but at 5,200, he's not excessively priced, but at 5,200, you think he needs to go 25 points. And that's a huge chance. He's averaging 26 over the last five, so I do like CJ Miles in this one. Derrick Rose at 7,000, that price has come down a lot. So I think that I think 7,000 for Derrick Rose is not a bad, it's still not great, but it's not bad. I wouldn't be rostering him personally, especially when the paces are absolutely horrible for opposition small forwards. Sorry, opposition point guards. But you know, he's getting to that spot where you sort of have to go, okay, Derrick Rose, maybe a look at him. What about Kirk Heinrich? Yeah, what about him? We're not going to be playing him unless for some reason Rose is out. The next game should be relatively fantasy friendly. That's the Philadelphia 76ers and the Houston Rockets. The Rockets are favored by 11. The total is 198.5 points. We need to sort of watch for Jahlil Okafor to see whether he might cop a suspension from the league after that video surface of him punching that guy straight in the face after that the incident at the Boston nightclub. I doubt that he gets suspended, but there is a possibility. I've marked him as questionable over on Basketball Monster at the moment, so there is a chance that Jahlil Okafor doesn't play in this one due to a suspension. Let's see exactly what happens. I would think that he would take the court, though. There is a lot of value in this game, though. Corey Brewer is minimum salary. He played 27 minutes in the last game, 20 minutes on average, and he hasn't been great, granted. But if he's going to be in the mix and playing minutes against the Sixers team, this is where he's going to have an opportunity. This is one of the easiest opportunities he's going to have. If he gets 24 minutes at 3,500, you might get 25 points out of him, and you should be pretty happy with that. Same goes with Terrence Jones, who really struggled in the last game. This is an awesome matchup for power forwards. 5,700 for Terrence Jones. You would have to think that he's going to get a better performance. Dwight Howard at 8. This is one of the only situations where you ever consider using Dwight Howard. 8,100 against the Sixers. It's not a horrible matchup. Well, it's a pretty good matchup for him. He is starting to put up some better numbers. I probably wouldn't, but it's one of the times where we can consider using him. Robert Covington is probably one of the best plays on the board. 5,700 only. He put up almost 40 in the last game. He's establishing himself as one of the Sixers, if not the Sixers' best player. At 5,700, that's a pretty cheap price. Nerlens Noel is only at 6,300. The projections all look really favorable for him going up against Houston, because much like the Sixers are really easy for power forwards, the Rockets are easy for power forwards as well. But there's a lot of risk involved. He's only averaging 19 across his last three games. You're going to want him to go much higher than that to return 6,300. So maybe in a tournament, you hope he has a game where he has either five blocks and four steals or something like that. But it's too hard in cash games. I really like Isaiah Cannon at 4,100. He's been trending up, averaging 30 minutes in his last three. And with Nick Stauskas out, he'll be one of those three-point shooters who'll play off the ball too. So at 4,100, I think that he should be in quite a lot of lineups. And Trevor Ariza at 6,000 is relatively solid too. He's been putting up 25 points, but we're going to get the Sixers bump there, which should push him to 30, making him a valuable player. I do like Jahlil Okafor here too. If he plays, he's at 6,600. He's been really solid, averaging 36 or almost 37 across his last three games. I like him in this spot too. And James Harden at 10,400. He's been playing about 40 minutes a game, but he's not going to need to play 40 minutes here. But he still should be able to put up 50 points. And he's one of the better high-priced shooting guards on the board. Point guard-wise, Patrick Beverley, Jason Terry, Ty Lawson. I'm going to avoid all those guys. And I don't really like TJ McConnell at 5,000. His minutes have trended down. He's averaging only 25 across the last three games. Only putting up 17 points in that stretch. I think we can safely avoid him. Maybe he has a blow-up game, but things are definitely trending down for TJ McConnell as Phil Pressey and Isaiah Cannon get more minutes. The next game is the San Antonio Spurs and the Denver Nuggets, and there are four guys already ruled out. Tim Duncan and Manu Ginobili are out for the Spurs, and Kenneth Faried and Joffrey Lavernier are out for the Denver Nuggets. So there is value all over the place in this game. I love Danny Green in this one, again at 4,300, and you might say, yeah, you love Danny Green all the time. Well, he's averaging 20.5 over the last three, and at that low 4,000 salary, that's okay, but he's got a chance here to put up a pretty big night against a Denver team who is just horrific at allowing points for shooting guards, so I like Danny Green here. With Duncan out, David West gets a bit of a bump too. At 3,800, he's still probably only a tournament option, given he's only averaging 13 points, but he has had a 28-point game this season, and you have to look at him with that increased role. On the Nuggets side of things, no Faried, no Lavernier, so it's Darrell Arthur and Nikola Jokic. Arthur at 3,800, Jokic at 4,400. Both of those guys are very, very solid guys to look at. And Emmanuel Mudiay at 6,000. He had a pretty poor game in the last one, but he's been averaging 29 across the last three. 27 across his last five. I think that he is in a pretty decent spot to put up some nice fantasy value. Kawhi Leonard at 8,800, he's pushing 9,000, but you really can't blame them for increasing his price. This is an easy matchup for small forwards as well, so he's not a bad play. LaMarcus Aldridge, one of the options I think you could use here with Duncan out. Maybe Aldridge plays a bit more center. Maybe he gets some more rebounds in this game, maybe some more blocks. At 7,800, you have to consider using LaMarcus Aldridge here. Tony Parker's been on a real red-hot streak, averaging 33 almost in his last three games. At 5,500, you could do a lot worse against the Denver backcourt that is Moutier and Jameer Nelson. So I think Tony Parker has a lot of value here. And Danilo Gallinari, no thanks. Not if Kawhi Leonard's guarding him. We can pretty much leave him alone. Boris Diaw is a minimum salary player, and he should see a minute bump as well with Tim Duncan out. So tournaments, Boris Diaw, let's have a look at him, because it's not often you can find a minimum salary guy who can go up and put up 24 or 25, 30 points for someone. So he's going to have value in that sort of situation. The Spurs are favored by 9.5 in that one, and it is a total of 196. The next game is the Warriors and the Suns. There is no spread out for this one. We have to check on the status of a couple of big men. Andrew Bogut, who had a stiff back on Wednesday, and Tyson Chandler, who missed Wednesday's game with an illness, but Chandler hasn't been really contributing a huge amount anyway. Markieff Morris at 5,800 is a very, very good play here, averaging 32.5 over the last three. I really like him. I like Eric Bledsoe at 8,500 a bit. I like Brandon Knight at 7,900. Knight put up another 56 in the last game. He is thriving in Phoenix. I love him at that price. Even though it's expensive and it's getting up there, I do think that he can be a real interesting guy. Klay Thompson at 6,300. The price is just continually appealing. Now, he hasn't been playing all that well. We know that. But he did put up 26 in the last three as an average. And that includes a 19-point game against the Lakers, which was over in the first quarter. So you can't really blame him for putting up a bad line there. So I know people will be like, I'm not using Klay. He's pissing me off. He's doing all these things. But at 6,300, trending up, I don't mind it here. Especially against the Suns matchup, which should be fast-paced and allow him to score. And they do give up a lot of fantasy points. So he's a good option there. Steph Curry at 10,900. We know the story on Steph Curry now, but he's only averaging 41 across his last three. There's a chance he goes big here because this game might be kept close. The Suns are a decent team. The Warriors have now broken that record. So maybe there's somewhat of a letdown factor. So maybe Curry has to stay in a little bit longer. I don't hate using Steph Curry at 10,900. 77 for Draymond Green. That's probably a little bit too expensive for me. And Harrison Barnes at 5,300, probably a little bit high. Also, if Tyson Chandler is out, John Lua at 3,500 becomes someone we definitely pay attention to. Same as Mirza Teletovic at 3,800. They're guys we can use in tournament options, or as tournament options. The next game is the Minnesota Timberwolves and the Sacramento Kings. A couple of injuries we need to check here. And if you're using sites like FanDuel and Moneyball where there's no a late swap feature, it's going to be hard to use guys like DeMarcus Cousins and Ricky Rubio, who are both questionable heading into this one. And Nemanja Bjelica is also questionable, but his daily fantasy impact is not all that big. A couple of guys we can look at. Kevin Martin has struggled in a couple of starts, but 4,500, maybe you take a risk on him. If Cousins is out, we're definitely using Kostas Koufos at 4,000. He put up almost 31 points in the last game. He's averaging, even if Cousins plays, he's averaging 26 across the last three, some with Cousins, some without. I'd be okay using him if you've got a lot of other high-priced guys around. And Karl-Anthony Towns now dropped under 7,000. He's had a couple of poor games in a row. I know people who have used him have been burnt by him the last couple of games, so they're going to be a little bit hesitant. So I imagine his ownership percentage goes right down. So in a tournament, if you get a guy who's got potential to go big and he's had a 50-point game this season already and at low ownership, maybe it's not a bad option for Karl-Anthony Towns. Rajon Rondo, 8,400, that's a high salary, but he's averaging 45. Do you expect him to do it again against Minnesota? Yeah, he can, especially if Ricky Rubio's out. There's more value for Rondo, I think, in that sort of situation. If Boogie plays at 10,600, I think he's going to be a really good player. We know what he can do from a real life and fantasy point of view. 7,500 for Andrew Wiggins. This is actually a really good matchup for Wiggins. I normally am not a big fan of using him, but I think that he's a good play here. And if Rubio is out, Zach LaVine at 5,500 should be the guy that you look at in a lot of your lineups. Look, LaVine's been okay even with Rubio playing, but I don't love him. But if Rubio's out, LaVine should be getting way more minutes. Gorgui Dieng's numbers look impressive on the surface, 24.5 at 4,100. and you can use him if you think that Towns is going to get benched or sat or have foul trouble, because that's where Jeng's minutes have been coming from. If you don't think that's going to happen, then don't worry about using Gorgie Jeng. Rudy Gay's been on fire since coming back from the injury, averaging 40 in his last three. 7,600, you can definitely give him a go. And Omri Caspi's been pretty solid at 4,100 too. He's got the potential to put up a 30-point game in a tournament. That makes him fairly useful. The last game of the night is the New Orleans Pelicans and the Los Angeles Clippers. Tyreek Evans is doubtful to play in this one, so we're not going to be using him. That means that there's still more Ish Smith to be spread around. Ish Smith is now up to 6,300 though, but I don't really care. He's averaging 42.5 points across the last three games. I would still be happy using him, thinking he's going to give you 37, 38, that sort of range. DeAndre Jordan at 7,800 is mildly appealing. Blake Griffin at 9,200 is also one of the better power forwards to use too. He put up almost 60 points in the loss on Wednesday. Chris Paul at 8,900 has been playing fairly well also, so he's a relatively solid guy, not the best point guard on the board. And Anthony Davis is averaging 45 points across the last three games. He's at 11,000, but I think that he's going to be worth looking at, definitely. Ryan Anderson, Eric Gordon, maybe they've been good, definitely. Anderson especially, averaging 33 across the last three, 36 across the last five. At 6,700, he can be used. I'm not so keen on Gordon here in this one. And Drew Holiday, I don't want to use him until his minutes get right back up there. All right, that's it. We're done. Daily Fantasy Show done for Friday's games. Make sure you're checking out Basketball Monster and checking out the Basketball Monster Twitter feed, which is at Bask Monster for last-minute updates. There's a lot we're going to have to pay attention to with all these things that are happening. Yeah, Zach Randolph, DeMarcus Cousins, Ricky Rubio, Matthew Dellavedova, Luol Deng. All these guys are going to have impacts on where the value plays lie in daily fantasy. Hopefully I've covered all of that for you so far. If you're listening to this on the audio version of the podcast, I forgot to put this in the video version. It's the value plays for Friday DFS. At point guard, Isaiah Cannon at 4,100, Emmanuel Mudiay at 6,000, Reggie Jackson at 7,500. He's the best high-priced point guard on the board. Shooting guards, Danny Green at 4,300, J.R. Smith at 5,300, and then James Harden at 10,400. Small forwards, Corey Brewer's worth a punt at 3,500, Robert Covington at 5,700, and Carmelo Anthony at 9,100. Power forwards is Darrell Arthur at 3,800, Kristaps Porzingis at 71, and Blake Griffin at 9,200, while the centers is Nikola Jokic at 4,400, Jahlil Okafor at 6,600, and Marc Gasol at 7,800. That's it. I think we are done. Follow me on Twitter at redrock_bball. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. See ya.